realistic opportunity that happens with these toys as well. Hey, so you're in for a treat today. We have our newest member of the pastoral team. Nathan is going to be sharing with us. Pastor Nathan has been on staff for, I was trying to remember, like everything bleeds together. When did you start? June. Wow, it just seems like you've been here forever. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But anyway, just a little bit of the background. We searched and prayed for about 2 years for the next addition for the associate pastor, the role that Nathan is filling. Literally got thousands of resumes sent to us and had countless interviews with people and just never felt the Spirit say yes. And so we just, as much as we needed the person, we just kept waiting for the Spirit to say yes. And Nathan and I have a mutual friend here in the city that introduced us to each other. And I knew pretty much right away that Nathan was the person that we'd been waiting for. And he has been an incredible addition to the staff. Here's what I would say about Nathan. He is a pastor. He has a pastor's heart. He has a desire to shepherd you. His role at Grace is to think about how to engage you beyond Sunday morning. So small groups, the teaching ministry, the Tuesdays at Grace, that's his primary area of concern, if you will, is how do I engage people beyond Sunday morning and help them to grow in their walk with God. The message that he has for you this morning is brilliant, and you're in for a real treat. But what I really want you to do is welcome to the stage Pastor Nathan.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Pastor Doug. I want to meet that guy. I want to meet that guy who he was talking about. Hey, I do want to introduce my wife, my lovely bride of 15 years. Her name is Deanna. She's seated up here. And we have our son Silas next to her. So we have our littles in the building, in the house this morning. And yeah, I am grateful for this church, grateful for you, and grateful to be here. Pastor Doug, when he asked me to share and to prepare for today, I was excited. Hey, isn't this great? There's no lazy Sunday here at Grace Community Church. There's always something happening. You don't want to miss. You don't want to miss. But he had asked me to prepare today's message. And immediately I started to go back to some of my past messages. You know, some of my home runs, right? Every pastor worth their salt thinks that they have a few of those. And so I started to go in that direction, but then God got my attention and he woke me up literally one evening. And I believe he started to speak to me about the fullness of God. The title of today's message is Experiencing the Fullness of God. I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. If you have the Bible that's underneath your seat, it looks like this. It will be on page 977. We're going to be looking at chapter 3. And then also, it will be up on the screen as well. While you're turning there, I just want to share with you a little bit of the background to this portion of Scripture. The book of Ephesians was written by Paul the Apostle around the year 60 to 62 AD. The book can be divided into two halves, chapters 1 through 3 and chapters 4 through 6. The first half talks about all the riches of our inheritance as followers of Jesus. The second half primarily speaks about instructions for godly living. And so the verses that we're about to read in verse 14 of chapter 3, they're actually a prayer by the apostle. Paul, interestingly, has begun his prayer in verse 1, but then as he got sidetracked, taken by the immensity of God's blessings, he resumes his prayer to God in verse 14. If you have it there, say amen. For this reason, I heard that. We got a little amen up here. I love that. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. Note the capital S on Spirit. In your inner being, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, this is Paul's prayer, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, with your hands on your Bibles, let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we've come together to worship in your name. We have water baptized individuals. Now, Lord, we read your word aloud and we give you our attention the best we know how. I ask, Holy Spirit, take it from here. Lead us and change us to your glory. All God's people would say, amen. Well, about 10 years ago, you may be seated, about 10 years ago, there was a couple in California. And they were hanging out in their backyard and they noticed that there was something shiny that was in their backyard. And so, you know, they didn't want to run it over with the lawnmower. And so they said, you know what, let's dig this up so that it doesn't cause any problems, you know, for our landscaping. Well, guess what? They went to, you know, where, I think you probably know where I'm going. They went to go dig it up. And in those tin cans, they found uncirculated, which I've recently learned, adds to the value, uncirculated gold coins to the tune of $10 million. Instantly, they became millionaires. We probably just lost about half of our online viewers as they rush out the back door to go to their backyard to dig up whatever treasure that they can find. Fascinating story to me. And I think what's most interesting about the story is that this couple, they were living a completely normal life, day after day, week after week, month after month, not knowing, totally unbeknownst to them, that Blackbeard's treasure awaited them the whole time. Imagine that. Imagine the daily grind of stressful family finances, having those conversations, having those tough talks of things that you got to trim on the budget to make do. Imagine having all those conversations completely unaware that the answer to their financial problems was at their disposal the whole time. Well, why do I say that? I share that story because I believe that we can have that same experience when it comes to our salvation in Christ. Certainly, we're glad for God's saving grace. Certainly, we're thankful, but somehow, over a matter of time, we kind of just get in the motion of things and it's day to day and things begin to get a little murky. But we are not aware of the riches, the bounty, and the fullness that is available, that is at our disposal in our own backyard, so to speak. What I'm trying to say is that God hasn't just saved us. God has blessed us with a rich inheritance. And so, what is the fullness of God? What is the fullness of God? We read about it. What is the fullness of God? Is it how God feels after he eats a big Christmas dinner? Is that the fullness of God? Is the fullness of God, he's busy and so his schedule is full and it's hard to gain weight? Is that the fullness of God? More importantly, for us, what does it mean for us to experience the fullness of God? Is it a one-time experience? Or is the fullness of God, I pray you're with me this morning, is the fullness of God an ongoing invitation to worship him and to enjoy him forever? Well, today I believe that we can experience the fullness of God when we experience God as he is, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the first one, God as our heavenly Father. We read about it in verse 14. In verse 14. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. You know, people say all sorts of interesting things to describe their relationship with God. I'm guilty of it, and I hear these sayings all the time. And it's okay. I'm not throwing stones at anybody because it's a mystery to describe in words our relationship with God. But sometimes people will say things like, hey, I'm so glad I got my ticket punched for heaven. Okay. Other times people will say, and I hear this a lot with younger people, they say, Pastor, I'm good with God. We're like tight. I'm like, cool. Other people will say, I've accepted Jesus into my heart. What's interesting to me is that when the Bible talks about our relationship with God, it doesn't say any of those things. What it says is that when we come into relationship with God, we become, beloved, we become his sons and daughters. We become his children. So God's invitation is couched in the most intimate relationship that we can fathom. I love 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, we have it up here on the screen. Beloved, we are God's children when you finally get to heaven. Is that what it says? Oh. We are God's children today. We are God's children now. And as his children, Jesus instructs us to call, to refer to God as our Father. One day in Jesus' ministry, the disciples were so moved by his rhythms of prayer and his connection with God that they asked him, they said, Jesus, you're like connected with the Father. Teach us to do that. It's a simple request. I probably would have said the same thing. And Jesus responds in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. He says, okay, I'll teach you how to pray. Pray then like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And if you grew up in church, you're familiar with it. And I'm grateful because on Tuesday, January 9th, it's one of our prayer workshops as we take a deeper dive into the Lord's Prayer. But what's become familiar to us was so unheard of then when Jesus uttered it. Back then in that culture, you really don't even say the name of God because it was sacrosanct. And here comes Jesus saying, when you pray, appeal to God, call upon God as our Heavenly Father. Jesus instructs us to call upon God as Father, and Paul understood this. He understood God to be his Heavenly Father, and he says that his Heavenly Father is the ultimate Father from whom all fatherhood is derived. You see, Paul had such confidence in his Father's ability that he could envision, this is Paul, he could envision a family of God that would include billions of people over thousands of years. What's fascinating about that to me is that at the time, Paul is imprisoned uttering this prayer. And believers, Christians, they consisted of 0.1% of the Roman population. That is so foreign to us now. We're used to being like a part of the majority as believers here in America. But back then, it less 0.1%. Paul knew that his father would be adding children, sons and daughters, from every tribe and language, from Greek speakers in Ephesus to English speakers right here in Metro Detroit. What blocks us from seeing God as our heavenly Father? What blocks us from seeing God? Talking about the fullness of God. What would block us from seeing God as our heavenly Father? Well, the problem is that we live in this sin-battered world where it's difficult for us to acknowledge God as our heavenly Father because of our relationships with our earthly fathers. Because of sin, because of neglect, because of strife, we live on an orphaned planet. A couple years ago, there was a lady that I was counseling and trying to, you know, do the best I could as a pastor to help her in her crisis. And I'll never forget, I went to a time of prayer, and when I pray, I begin, I say, "Dear Heavenly Father," and she shuddered. And I said, "Ma'am, what is everything okay? Is it something I said?" And she said, "Oh, it's just that word." I said, "What word? I thought I may have said something I didn't intend." And she said, "Father." And then she began to tell me about how her childhood was so devastating of inflicted neglect and abuse of all different types. And over the compounding years of, and I would say compounding decades, she had developed a real hatred towards her earthly father. I mean, it was to the core. And she says, "You want me to see God as my father? I just can't go that far." And I began to realize, wow, this is interesting. That because of our relationships with earthly fathers, it can affect, whether positively or negatively, our view of God as our heavenly Father. And if you're sitting back in your chair this morning saying, "Oh, you know what, Nathan, I've heard that before, but that's a woman's problem." Oh no, you would be, friends, sorely, sorely mistaken. I would say in hallways and in conversations with many men, same thing. Relationships with earthly fathers tainting their view of God as their heavenly Father. It's a big issue, and there's a lot to unpack. But here's the truth, and you got to land somewhere, and this is the truth of God's revealed word, is that God has revealed himself to us as our perfect heavenly Father. He is always faithful. He is always good. The sooner you acknowledge God as your heavenly Father, the sooner a healing can begin. I know for me, my view and even my relationship with my earthly father was just transformed when I began to embrace this notion of God as my perfect heavenly Father. When I first started here at Grace, and yeah, Pastor Doug, he says it seems like forever. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. But when I started here in June, everyone kept talking about, "Oh, Nathan, you got to check out the restorative prayer." And I've been around church and for a long while, and I know pre-service prayer. I know upfront prayer. But I said, what is restorative prayer? And none of y'all would give me a straight answer. I finally went to Pastor Doug. I said, "Doug, what is restorative prayer?" And he didn't even give me a straight answer. He says, "You just got to do it." I was like, "All right, sign me up." So I go to restorative prayer, and oh my goodness. This, friend, is a ministry offered here at Grace that is a blessing. That is like the ultimate understatement. Through guided people, through guided and loving individuals, not counselors, but trained and helped, our friends here will help you see God as he truly is. Because sometimes our view, our lens gets foggy. And then vice versa, it helps us see how God sees us as his children. And I can't encourage you enough, if what I'm talking about with earthly father and heavenly father, if that is a hang up for you, I want to encourage you at the information counter. We've got these like business cards. All you have to do is you shoot an email or phone call, reserve an hour of prayer. You will be blessed. Your soul will be restored. After I went through it, Pastor Doug said, yeah, it's like taking a shower. And I said, yeah, that's a good description. I've walked out, I felt lighter. You know, there is such thing as a ministry of prayer. And so seeing God as our heavenly Father, we can experience him when we see God as our Father, and we can experience the fullness of God when we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, it says that you'd be strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, there were moments when the Holy Spirit would come upon localized individuals. The Holy Spirit would come upon builders of the tabernacle, certainly upon the prophets that we read in the Old Testament to speak, to proclaim. And the Holy Spirit would come upon leaders to lead the nation of Israel. But we see something totally different in the New Testament. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the New Covenant, we read about it in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit is given to every single believer. And the amazing thing about the ministry of the Holy Spirit as New Covenant believers is that it's not a coming upon, so to speak. It is an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Notice the words rooted and grounded. Notice the source or the location. The Spirit strengthening in your inner person. The power of the Holy Spirit is real. The power of the Holy Spirit is spiritual. Not rocket science. You can be a heavyweight in the gym and yet spiritually anemic. You can be a spiritual featherweight. But thank goodness the opposite can be true. You can be a physical featherweight, but a spiritual heavyweight. You can be strong in the Lord. It has nothing to do with working out physically. It's spiritual. Some of the toughest people I know could barely come up and lift this Bible. But spiritually, it's not their strength, it's God's strength within them. The past 2 years, I say all that, I bring it home a little bit. Past 2 years have been a wild ride for my family. Prior to serving here at Grace, we were leading a ministry until a medical diagnosis with our youngest son just knocked us off of our feet. That's the best way I could describe it. We did, like so many of us do, shoulder to the wheel, soldier on. But we weren't looking back, fully aware of the domino effect that it had upon our family, upon our marriage, and upon our emotional health. And so 2022, it actually was a very dark and difficult year for myself and for our family. A life-altering diagnosis opened our eyes to the fact that our number one ministry priority ought to be our family. But when I took a step back and evaluated things, I had realized that things had gotten out of whack. That it wasn't the case. And so, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we decided to make some drastic adjustments. In 2022, I stepped down from leading a church. And I had no concrete plan of, everyone asked, well, what are you going to? Prayer. I didn't have an answer. A step into the unknown. When you got a wife and kids to feed, I don't care who you are. That's a daunting prospect. And I remember praying, Holy Spirit, help me. Hold the line. Get us back on our feet. I am so grateful for the real inner being, the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because God helped us, sustained us, and then directed us here to Grace Community Church. Yes. Paradise on earth. I told Pastor Doug in the first service, I said, I feel like I found gold coins in my own backyard here. I've got a lot of appreciation for Pastor Doug, if you can tell. He's a good pastor. The Holy Spirit helped us get back on our feet. It's a new year, friend. And maybe you are in a difficult and a dark time. Maybe you're here and you're like, you know what? I sense that God is actually calling us to take a step of faith. Well, I want to encourage you. Don't settle for yesteryear or the status quo. This upcoming Friday, we've intentionally invited, we put it on the calendar, that we're going to have a worship night. Well, we're going to place the Lord before our year and ask him to go before. We're going to pray that God would strengthen us by his Spirit to believe him for new things. We're going to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to do some what? Rooting and some grounding in our faith so that when those storms, and they're coming, that we're able to withstand those storms. So we can experience the fullness of God when we see him as our heavenly Father and when we're strengthened by his Spirit. And finally, I'm wrapping up. Thank you for your patience. We can experience the fullness of God when we consider the love of Christ. The love of Christ. That you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ. Jesus loves you. Yes. What glad tidings. What good message that Jesus loves you. We have we have little kids with us in the house this morning, and I want to invite to stand with me all of our kids in the sanctuary this morning. So if you're 5 and older, I'm looking at my son who's 6 and he should be standing. If you're a kid, why don't you stand? Parents, come on, let's encourage them to stand. All right, good. Okay, thank you. Okay, here's what I want you to do, kids. I want you to reach with your hand as high as you can reach to the very tip top, as high as you can go. Okay, wow. Oh, look at my man. Oh, that's an arm. Oh, I see you guys up there. Okay. All right, now use both arms to go as wide as you can go. Whoa. Oh, we're going wide. We're going this. Okay, she needs help. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Dad. Awesome. Okay, now Simon says, put your hands down. Okay, now stay standing. If you're a parent of any of these kids, if you're a parent and these kids belong to you, would you stand alongside of them? Okay. All right. I love it. All right, parents, we're going to get our own exercise in. I want you to reach as high as you can reach. And kids, look at your parents. And now parents, go like this. It's wide. Wow, look at that arm span. Wow. Okay, now parents, go in for the hug, the big old hug for those little kids. All right, kids, before I invite you to be seated, I want you to know you love your parents as high as you can tip-top reach, but guess what? Your parents love you even more. It's the truth. But then I also want to go one step further. That parents, we reach as high as we can go. But guess what? The love of Jesus Christ knows no bounds. It goes as high as the heavens are, as deep as the earth, and as wide as the cross. What an awesome God we serve. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God. The love of Christ. Can you imagine it? We talk about the love of the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's amazing. I'm a father and I wouldn't give my son away. I wouldn't. But also consider the love of Christ. Because in heaven, co-equal with God, when the Father said, okay, I'm sending Jesus, you know what he said? I'll go. He could have said, I'm good. He said, I'll go. And not only does he go, how does he come? Just had Christmas. In the form of a baby. Totally dependent on his teenage parents. If you're a parent, you're like biting your fingernails right now. That's a risk. And then to grow up impoverished in some backwater town of Nazareth. Oh my goodness. Jesus loves us, giving up all of his prerogatives, serving rather than to be served, and then ultimately not to die of a ripe old age, but to die the worst death of all, crucifixion, after being wrongfully accused and sentenced. Jesus loves us. And he loves us so much in verse 17 that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. I'm so glad. It would be enough for me if Jesus said, hey, I'll visit once a week on Sunday. I'll visit. I'll come knocking. But God is so much greater than that. Yes. Jesus says, no, through faith, I'll live. The lights are on and someone's home. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Indwelling presence of God. In conclusion, we can experience God's fullness in this year ahead. My prayer, I asked Pastor Doug, I said, what do you want me to share? He said, just sick them. No, my prayer is that this message serves as like a launch pad, a launch for our new year to experience God in his fullness. What could that look like? It could look like us seeing God, maybe for the first time as your Heavenly Father. It can look like being empowered, strengthened by the Holy Spirit like never before. It's amazing. It can look like being so immersed, so baptized in Christ's love that it compels you to love others, warts and all, because it's not your love. It's Christ's love within you. How do we do this? How do we experience the fullness of God? Do I have to have 7 prayers and 4 offerings? Throw up a petition? Oh, no. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Jesus said in another place, ask. God, show me your fullness. I mentioned at the beginning of the scripture that this was a prayer from the apostle. As I close up, can I ask you a personal question? What is your posture of prayer? Not what you say, what was your posture? Like how you look, okay? If you're like me and you're praying alone, I close my eyes. And sometimes I fade off into sleep. If I'm around other people, I find myself closing my eyes, and also bowing my head. And if I'm in the soup, if I'm really struggling, that's when I take a knee. And I'm sad to admit it, but that's the reality. But I see here, Paul, in the very first verse 14, it says that he bends his knee before the Father. Now, what's amazing about that is if you know anything about the life of Paul, the dude doesn't bend a knee to anybody. Doesn't matter what your title is. Doesn't matter if you're governor or even emperor, or especially if you're his opponent. He's saying, bring it on. And also consider that this is a prison epistle. He might even be bound. We don't know. But he bends his knee. What is he praying for? Why? Why would he come in such urgency in that posture of prayer? Is he praying for world peace? He's coming with urgency and reverence before God because he wants believers, Christians, to experience God in his fullness. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Friend, it doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus 6 months or 60 years. There is always more of God to experience. Yes. There's always more. You will never touch bottom. Would that we, as a church, and you as an individual, that you would experience the fullness of God more than ever before in this year before us. Well, he says all these things, talking about believers praying that they be filled with the fullness of God. And then he finishes with this heightened prayer, or it's called a doxology. And it begins in verse 20. And it's very familiar. And I want to invite us to stand because this is how we're going to close this morning. Paul takes a knee, prays that believers be filled with the fullness of God. And who's he praying to? And he says, now to him, that's God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask, think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. He's able. He's able. Let's pray. Father, we thank you on the eve of a new year. I thank you for each person coming out today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here for such a time. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that is not yet a child of God because they've not invited you to live, to dwell by faith within their hearts, I pray that before the day is over, that today would be their day of salvation. Then I pray, Lord, by extension, the rest of us. Oh, Lord, I simply pray, dilate our faith in some way, only a way that you can, to us to recognize that there is an invitation. Paul the apostle prayed for it for those Ephesian believers, and it's extended to us, that we all would begin to experience you in your fullness as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory, and we give you this upcoming year. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We want to invite you to, we'll see you on Friday. And we also want to open up these altars. If you are here and have any prayer or any need, we are here to pray with you. God bless you. Happy New Year. Amen.